This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Happy Open Line Thursday to all the Junks listeners in D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Maybe you're taking the Junks on the go with that free Odyssey app. However you're listening, we thank you for that. The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Go to CropMetcalf.com if you need info on how to become one of their five-star technicians. You got a four-man Junk show today. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes, where you find me on the Twitter. Still don't like to call it X. Still going to call it Twitter because that's a better name. Jason Bishop is also
here.
Happy
Thursday, boys.
Happy Thursday to you. John Paul Flabe is kind of rocking the red with his Caps quarter zip or
What's
full
up, Cakes?
Zip. Good morning.
Discovered that in the closet last night.
Very good. And Eric Bickle.
Morning.
There you have it.
Had to make a move because the zipper on my Sup Dog's jacket is just fried.
You had to pivot. Mm. Understood. These things
and
happen.
And it's warmer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Crushing loss for the Terps last night. I mean, that has to be front and center.
Just stupid.
I mean, what a horrible way to end the game.
They were fortunate to be tied.
It's brutal.
Michigan State had that awful turnover when they were up by two.
Yeah,
and
Holloman.
Maryland kind of came back, getting to the free throw line there to tie it at 55. And then they get the rebound. The shot.
Gillespie.
Maybe it was a little early.
I thought it was a little.
Maybe.
He's got to try and get to the rim there.
It was a lot early, and he took it from about 27 feet.
Yeah, but sometimes you want to give yourself a chance at an offensive rebound. And I don't anticipate a half quarter beating you.
You don't anticipate that, but, I mean, aren't you talking to yourselves and saying, we're going to take the last shot? We're either going to win. We're either going to win the game here. Or we're going to overtime.
Maybe he's kind of just lost track of time and he tries to rush it a little bit.
It's a high-pressure, high-stress situation for a college kid.
But look, when Maryland, you're going to have days like that where your starting five just doesn't shoot the ball well.
Right.
And their bigs didn't. You need some help from the bench. And Maryland's Achilles heel all year has been their bench.
Well, they got 23 to Zippy.
They get no production for the bench. I mean, Deshaun Harris-Smith was one of the best high school players in the country. Mm-hmm. Could have played anywhere in the country.
Right.
And he's been a big disappointment. He was a starter last year. He's not a starter this year.
Well, he's 100% transferring.
Well, he probably should. I mean, he doesn't even average three a game.
Mm-hmm.
So they just get no bench production. So in a game like that, you need it.
And look, it might be recency bias. Derek Queen didn't do anything last night to show me that he's ready to be like a lottery pick in the NBA draft season.
I've said that from the beginning.
He had a bad game.
He just did not. I don't know whether Michigan State just completely took him out of the game plan, and he just did not look forceful. He had one of the weakest double-doubles you'll ever find. I think he's now 2-for-24 from three-point land. He can't shoot the three ball.
No.
Like, you kind of need that skill set if you're going to be drafted high in the NBA. I think he needs minimum one more year of seasoning in College Park, but he probably will leave.
I mean, if he's a guaranteed first rounder, he's gone.
So, give them some credit, though. They fought back. They were down 55-48.
Yeah.
Sure.
Clawed their way back to 55-55. with a chance to win the game. Again, I think he shoots a little early. However, there are some coaches that argue that's kind of the perfect time mm-hmm. to take the last shot because, look, it came, the rebound obviously went right to Michigan State.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it bounced a certain way. Like, there are times when it could be an offensive board, a tip in. The odds of what Michigan State did are very, very low.
Also, getting back to Queen for a second, when Holloman let go of the shot, like 5 or 8 feet before, Queen just jumps. He just jumps straight up.
Yeah, I saw that in the replay.
He hadn't even started like his shooting motion. Like, he doesn't have the foot speed to stick with that guard, so maybe that was just his last-ditch effort. But, I mean, what was he jumping to stop? He hadn't even started shooting. Like, it was a weird look at the end of the game. But, again, the guy hit a 65-footer.
I mean, the last thing you think is that a guy's going to hit a heave like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was an absurd end.
Hey, you know what? The Maryland fans showed up.
Oh, I mean, the place was popping.
The place was rocking.
Place was packed.
I think he was trying to prevent him from passing it or something.
Yeah, maybe he thought he was going to pass it down court.
Passing it? There was 1 second left.
He doesn't. I'm just telling you, a lot of these guys just don't know.
They're just reacting quickly.
I guess. I mean, it was a high-pressure situation. I understand. But, hey, man, that was brutal.
It's not great, but she lost to the number 8 team in the country.
Yeah, I mean,
and
not
you
that
were right
big
there.
Big a deal.
And you shot terribly, as you mentioned. They were 4 for 20 from beyond the arc.
Right.
Was 0 for
Michigan
6.
Michigan State wasn't very good either. I mean, it was two teams that were struggling to put points on the board. I think the halftime score was like 23-21.
It was slow.
Maryland. Mm-hmm. Like, it was an ugly game by both teams. Mm-hmm. Just Michigan State, they just had a horseshoe. They had a horseshoe lodged in the backside and got lucky at the end.
Yep. Well, I mean, they're the best team in the conference.
Yep.
I mean, you could argue that, you know, Wisconsin is, or Michigan. I mean, it's kind of going back and forth, but they're going to win the regular season title. And Izzo coaches his teams up, mm-hmm. especially close to March.
Yep.
It's a tough loss, man, but, you know, maybe.
I mean, they'll be fine.
Maybe these guys need that sometimes.
They're a tournament team.
Of course. Like,
they're probably a 5 or 6 seed. I mean, maybe higher if they do work in the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. But, man, that was a rough way to take an L.
We always talk about different times where you feel old, and a lot of it has to do with sports. And we see kids' sons. Michigan State has Jace Richardson.
Yeah.
Jason Richardson's son.
Mm-hmm.
We're old.
Trust me, I know. You think I don't know that?
Doesn't even feel like that long ago that we were watching Jason Richardson.
You think I don't know that we're all washed? We're mid-50s and washed.
Yeah.
Of course I know that. Come on.
Told you. I don't know.
I was just thinking about Van Pelt last night. And Van Pelt, you know, goes to the game.
Yeah.
Game starts at 6:30. I don't know what time the game ends. Call it 9 or whatever. Gets out of there. And then he goes right to the ESPN studios.
He tweeted after the game. He's like, well, got to go to work now. Right. Cool. I think was what he said. But, yeah, that it has to leave.
He and Stanford Steve.
Has to leave him a bad taste in his mouth when he goes on SportsCenter after his Terps lose to a 60-plus footer. At the buzzer.
Yeah.
He'll be okay.
I was grasping, too. I was like, was there time on the clock? And then I saw the replay. I was like, of course not. Of course there was time left on the clock when he got rid of it.
He's estimated to make $6 million a year. He'll be okay.
Who is?
Scott Van Pelt.
He's fine.
Yeah, I'm not boo-hooing for Scott Van Pelt.
No, I was just thinking.
He's having a great life.
Jason's so sleep dominated.
I was thinking, man, I was turning the TV off and going night-night, and he's getting ready to go to work.
Yeah.
Talk about
I actually envy those hours. Be the best.
The night hours.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm out on it.
I'd much rather stay up late at night than wake up early in the morning.
I'm not a vampire. I don't like vampire hours.
I like to get work done.
I like to get work done in the middle of the night.
When you have work looming, it's an awful feeling.
Yeah.
Guess it depends on how you look at it.
I mean, when we were younger and we were, you know, didn't have kids and wives yet.
It was fine, but we were still doing
8 to 11.
Still had it looming.
It's all you thought about all day.
Yeah. I can't really do that. I'll be tired for work. Oh, I don't know. Will I be back in time for work?
Want to be able to go out and enjoy the weather like yesterday.
But you can stay up, watch all the games, sleep in.
That's overrated. Yeah. I have anxiety about my tax appointment.
It's today, right?
Yeah, just because I know that I don't have all the stuff that he needs. And as I'm gathering
the
paperwork.
You know one thing for sure you don't have?
Not really.
Or is it a situation where you think you have everything, but you know he's going to find something?
And as I'm gathering the paperwork yesterday, Amy's like, well, don't you have like a checklist that he sends you? I'm like, yeah. but I'm too lazy to go pull it up or go get it. So it's just the same. It's Groundhog Day every year. I go, we meet for about an hour, we catch up. It's our yearly summit financial meeting. And then I bring home a list of three or four items that I always forget.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to like email them to him or, God forbid, send him a snail mail package with the paperwork that he needs.
Right.
And it all gets done, but it gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm not even doing the work. All I have to do is drive there and show up.
And just show up and give him the papers.
Give him the packet of paperwork.
Yeah.
Anxiety. And get a big 32-ounce Coke from the McDonald's that's right next door.
Anxiety rules the world, Cakes.
It does. It makes the world go round.
It does.
They've got some silly spots right around there. I mean, if you wanted to go fancy, Ruth's Chris is within like a mile.
I'm going to go to Ruth's Chris at 2 in the afternoon by myself.
Happy hour right after.
In Odenton.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
And then they've
is shocking.
That says something about Ruth's Chris. They might be going down.
I believe it's technically Gambrels, right?
I don't know. I think
whatever.
Thing. I think Odenton. They're all the same.
And then they've got Lido right there. They've got a bunch of
Lido.
Love it. A bunch of places right around there.
I can't believe there's a Ruth's Chris in Odenton/Gambrels.
Odenton's on the come up, EB.
That
you're sleeping.
That's the most interesting thing I've heard in a while.
And shocking.
Well, what shocked me this morning, and we'll talk about it later, was Gene Hackman, they found Gene Hackman dead with his wife and a dog. And they're saying no foul play.
Well, Drab and I, our first thought is automatically carbon monoxide.
Yeah, but then is that kind of like foul play? If it's monoxide?
No. Sure.
It's just an accident.
How's that foul play?
Oh, okay.
You said murder-suicide.
Foul play. Both those things I thought.
Yeah.
Both those things I thought.
Carbon monoxide's just
carbon monoxide, easy. Get that.
Yeah.
But I also thought he's 95, impending death. She loves him so much. She donks herself off.
I mean, he looks so old and frail. I don't know if he could even pick up a gun at this point.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, if there was gunshot wounds, they would have
reported
that.
There's no foul play. I mean, that's what they're reporting.
Foul play when you kill each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
His wife was only 63.
What if he said, hey,
it's a foul.
What's time to go?
It's a personal foul.
If it's time to go.
What?
No, that's...
Like, they're at peace with it. He's 95.
Yeah.
He's
still
gonna
foul
die
play.
Any day now. Yeah. And she said, yeah, I agree with you. So I don't understand. That's why I didn't understand it. But I guess if you say carbon monoxide, not foul play, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I mean, carbon monoxide poisoning, last I checked, is like an accident. Like, there's a leak. You don't know it. You don't have a detector.
Okay.
And then everybody just dies.
Okay.
And it sucks.
I'll buy carbon monoxide poisoning for sure.
I think that has to be the leader in the clubhouse.
Okay. I felt like that's kind of like foul play too, but okay. I guess not.
No,
foul play if you go into the garage and you turn on your car and you close everything and do it yourself.
And foul play is murder or attempted murder.
Okay. I thought it was like assisted suicide. Honestly, that's what I thought.
Hmm.
Well, that would be kind of murder.
That's
murder.
That's definitely murder.
Like, she was only 63.
Right. I saw a picture of her. Yeah, we all saw the same picture of her.
She was
a year
chicken.
Ago. She looked great.
He was 95. Like,
there's no reason for her to be dead. If you say carbon monoxide poisoning, I get it.
Well, she's got stab wounds or gunshot wounds, or if Hackman has a bullet hole in his head.
Or they just took some sort of cocktail. You know, they did Heaven's Gate cocktail. And
they
just dunked themselves.
I think it was.
Because Gene's obviously, it was seconds away from dying at any moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
if that were the case, then it
I'll
would be determined
what,
foul play.
If they did just die in their sleep.
I mean, the dog did too.
No, there's no way a dog,
right.
a 63-year-old woman, and a 95-year-old man all just died
unless
at the same
they all
time.
Took a Heaven's Gate cocktail and they're just laying there in the Nikes.
That would make more sense.
But that would be the way to go. That would be the best way
100%.
To just die in your sleep.
Yes.
Yeah, but that
I
didn't
hope
happen.
That happened.
It didn't happen. Unless, I mean, you're saying carbon monoxide. But that's just a horrible way to go.
You're asleep. You just don't know it.
Yeah, but you're
silent
not ready.
Killer. Silent, odorless killer.
Yeah.
Pretty cheery
topic. I think that's the way it happens. I don't think you like suffocate, but I could be wrong.
Let's go to Joe in Manassas. He's calling in on Open Line Thursday. You're welcome to do that.
I love that.
800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener line.
It'd be nice if we could set a record, but it's impossible.
It would be fun.
A dwindling audience.
Can you guys take 100 calls one show?
What was that guy's name?
Greg Gillespie.
Wow, you're so good. Let's go to Joe in Manassas. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's up, junkies? Love the show as always.
What's
Good morning to you guys.
Hello,
what's
Joe.
Up?
Hey, I just wanted to call and say, Cakes gave the best recommendation ever. My wife is like loves wings and Lido's, brother. Wow, you nailed that one, Cakes. Nailed it.
You know, has great wings. I'm the king of the wings, Joe.
I'm not that discerning on the wings. What I've had,
they've got jumbo wings.
Yeah. But what makes them so great? They're just so big.
They're big and robust.
Yeah, just meaty. Yeah. Meaty, crispy. Yeah. Like, I mean, dude, they brought those out, and I was like, man, are we at Lito's? Like, what's going on here? Like, I mean, it was legit.
Do they do a variety of different flavors, too?
Oh, so many different flavors.
Yeah.
Different flavors.
What do you do? What flavor did you go?
You can have the sauce on the side.
Yeah, what flavor?
My wife got the buffalo, hot buffalo, but she got it on the side.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You can do, like, hot honey. Yeah. Of course, Old Bay. You can do those.
Which Lito did you go to?
I live out west, man. I'm out in the Winchester, Stevenson area.
Oh,
there's Lito's out there that we hit. Yeah, man. But I'm already in Fairfax on the roof already, buddy, getting it in. Let's go.
Man, you're a hardworking dude. All right, well.
You guys get me through my morning, man. And
Hold on, you work on roofs?
I do commercial water treatment
for
chillers, cooling towers.
I don't know what that means.
Most people don't even know about that job. There's just really high-priced equipment on some of these roofs on these big buildings, and I got to make sure that the water that goes through them isn't corrosive, and a million-dollar machine lasts as long as it should.
So you climb on how high are the buildings that you climb on? Like how many stories?
Just on the roof. So
it's on the rooftop.
Stories,
you know, like you'll see all those machines on top of.
I get it, but I'm just asking, how tall are the buildings that you climb on?
They're probably like 12, 11 stories. You know, there's a certain rules in D.C. as far as height goes.
Pretty high, high
it's
enough.
Enough to scare the poop out of you.
High enough if you fall off, yeah, you definitely don't fall off.
I hate heights, too.
You do?
Yeah, I hate heights, too. But anyway, thanks for the recommendation. You guys have a great day.
Of course.
Day.
Right. Of course. Right, I'm the king of wings, Joe.
I don't know if I've ever heard a happier guy at 6:15. Yeah.
Joe's always happy.
He's happy because he had silly wings at Lito.
Yeah.
By the way, presents the Junkies text line. Lito Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings like Joe just told you about, and salads. Lito Pizza is square because Lito Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LitoPizza.com, 800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. You're welcome to call us on an open line Thursday like Joe just did. Coming up later, Nick Dowd from the Caps. He'll join us at 8:25. We'll be joined in studio by Ari Spears. He's at the DC Improv tonight through Sunday. He'll be with us at 9 o'clock here on the Jump.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the scouting combine in Indianapolis is the epicenter of the NFL universe right now. I mean, there are general managers, personnel people, coaches, players, media members.
They're
everybody's
all there.
In Indy.
Yeah.
So, a wild story coming out of Indy yesterday. Apparently, there was an altercation, a verbal altercation between Jordan Schultz of Fox and Ian Rappaport of NFL Media. This happened at the Starbucks at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. Apparently, it first came to light when PFT commenter from Barstool tweeted on Wednesday night, referring to, quote, a serious big-time media confrontation between two NFL newsbreakers.
Hmm.
So, in the Starbucks, I guess Rappaport was speaking with an agent. Schultz approaches Rappaport and said, quote, we need to talk. Rappaport replied, we don't need to talk. Schultz then made accusations about Rappaport, and then they got, like, in each other's faces. And Schultz said, if you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face. If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem. Schultz doesn't recall using profanity, but
Schultz is a bigger guy. I don't know his background, but I would put my money on Jordan Schultz.
Well, part of his background, the weird, ironic part about where this took place is Schultz is the son of the Starbucks founder.
Wow.
Howard Schultz. That's his dad.
Mm.
So it's just weird that it happened. This confrontation happened in a Starbucks.
Right.
So Rappaport, after the altercation, then asked Schultz to step back, basically get out of his face. Schultz said, quote, if this happens again, we're going to have a blanking problem. Now I'll step back. So I guess it stemmed from a report from Schultz on Wednesday that detailed we heard about Matt Stafford meeting with Tom Brady out in Montana at a ski resort.
Right.
So Schultz reported that the two had met. And Rappaport downplayed it, saying basically, it was a coincidence. It was just weird that they just both happened to be at the same Montana ski resort at the same time. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a minority owner of an NFL team that just so happens to need a quarterback that seems to kind of be on the market from the Rams. Mm-hmm. And Schultz is basically saying, if you believe that, I basically have some real estate or a bridge I'd like to sell you, because mm-hmm. there's no chance it was a chance encounter. So apparently tensions about it, they flared and they came to a head, and
No punches were thrown,
but it sounded like it was getting testy.
I saw Rappaport's tweet, and it spoke, he's just a mouthpiece for the owner,
right,
or the agent, because I'm sorry, common sense, I'm with Jordan Schultz
100%,
who tweeted about them meeting up at the ski resort in and Tom Brady lobbying for Stafford to come to the Raiders.
You guys want to go skiing with me?
But Rappaport publicly accused him of just being a mouthpiece for the agent.
No, I'm saying that Rappaport's tweet, which was like, oh, this just happened to be a coincidence.
Right, right,
they're
right.
Not recruiting, yeah, Matthew Stafford.
Right. Right.
Brady and Stafford just bumped into each,
right,
other.
It just happened to book.
And he's not recruiting. It sounded like, because look, it'd be tampering. He's under contract.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. So it would be tampering. It sounded like it was maybe Tom Brady sent this to Rappaport, and then Rappaport just put it out.
Right. No, I believe that.
I mean, if you think that Tom Brady and Matt Stafford just had a chance meeting at a ski resort in Big Sky Country.
Mm-hmm. Right, just ran into
each
other.
When Matt Stafford is rumored to be traded away from the Rams, possibly in the next few weeks, if you think that was just a chance meeting, I would seriously question your intelligence.
So the timeline is just a couple hours after Schultz reported that.
Right.
Rappaport's tweet was, Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady ran into each other at a ski resort. The meeting, unplanned, was not extensive or in-depth and did not include Brady hosting, in quotes, or recruiting, in quotes, Stafford, despite reports saying otherwise.
Well, wait a second. Regarding the tampering, didn't the Rams give them permission to seek a trade?
They gave him, supposedly, allegedly gave him permission to find his value.
Okay, so I mean, presumably then it would be okay to talk to Brady. Sounds, but I do agree with you that I'm sure it's Brady or someone downplaying it to Rappaport.
Well, for some reason, these words hosting or recruiting are in quotes, so there must be some sort of rule in play.
Mm.
Okay. And but they're trying to pretend that Brady wasn't recruiting him. Mm. Brady's not hosting him.
Look, you think he's not cheating? Drab brought up the fact that Brady had the clandestine meeting with Stephen Ross on the yacht in Miami years back when Ross is trying to lure him to the Dolphins.
Well, I think the same thing happened with Stafford and the Rams, and he and Sean McVay were like vacationing together.
Right.
When that whole deal was going down.
Yeah, but why would they have to go to sneak away to Montana Resort to meet?
You not get necessarily.
a burner phone. Take 5 minutes.
It's not necessarily, you know.
Did Stevie Bickle witness the whole thing? We know he was headed. Wasn't he headed to Montana?
He's in Montana
to go skiing?
Yeah. What resort are they at?
You guys want to go skiing?
No, I don't know the name of the resort, but maybe Stevie Bickle was on site.
I know.
Maybe you can give us a report. Boots on the ground.
Hold on. Let me tell you. He's staying at an Airbnb.
How does that get out that Brady and Stafford were there?
By the way, I don't know. Schultz?
Somewhere in Bozeman, yeah.
Schultz,
you heard of
like,
that? I've never heard of Bozeman.
I think Bozeman's, if it's not the biggest city in Montana, it's one of them.
Shouldn't Schultz be like just a chill dude? Like, I mean, he's leading kind of a charmed life. His dad started Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't you want to have purpose in life, Cakes? See, Cakes, if you were in his situation, you would do nothing.
I'd be honest.
You'd be a cokehead.
I'd be living off my dad's millions. I would be.
He wants to do something during the day.
I'd be having a fun life. I wouldn't be. You know what? I wouldn't be doing getting into fights with media guys at the Starbucks.
Well, there's also egos. There's also egos.
He's fascinated by Arthur Smith. He would never do what Arthur Smith has done, right?
No, never. I would.
Like, is his dad the FedEx guy?
Yeah, he's got FedEx money. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
No, I would be the black sheep son that the dad wouldn't want to talk about.
You'd be the silver spooner who does nothing.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just being honest.
Don't those guys just all end up like addicted to coke?
Sure, they probably do. Yeah. They lead pathetic lives.
Just terrible, empty lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I strive for.
Right. And there just happened to be NFL security at the Starbucks.
Well, when you're in Indy and you have all those
security
people around,
everywhere,
they're just kind of everywhere.
I think they were alerted.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So
Schultz, I think in response to his little altercation, then took to Twitter again and kind of retweeted his original tweet and then wrote, if you really think Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford just happened to run into each other at a ski resort in Montana, of all places, at the exact same time, I've got a bridge to sell you. They were together over the weekend. It happened. Multiple teams are interested in Stafford, and Brady has been leading the charge to get him to the Raiders if the Rams decide to trade
him. Valdez, Jordan Schultz has to have a lifetime Starbucks free drink card, right?
There's no way he paid for that golf.
No, of course not. He's got the VIP card.
There's no way paid for a cup of Joe ever.
No.
It's so funny that it happened at Starbucks. Yeah.
I think he actually got coffee muscles. Because that's his home turf. Starbucks is his home turf. So he was able to confront him like that.
That's a good point. He felt like he literally owned the place.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that everybody already kind of like in the know thinks that Jordan Schultz is a joke.
Okay.
Because of, you know, like he was just gifted this position and all the resources to become like an independent reporter.
Sure.
And then he blows it by getting in a fight at Starbucks. Like everyone just assuming nepotism with him.
It's kind of funny. Yeah.
I like him though. I've seen him on
Has
Fox
he been on the show before? I want to say he's been on maybe once.
I don't think so. Maybe, I think maybe one of the other shows.
He hasn't? Okay.
By the way, there's no chance that Stevie Bickle
as big as silly as he is, saw Tom Brady and Stafford at the Yellowstone Club with a private resort where you have to be a member. And it costs $400,000 to join.
What?
No, Stevie's just using his little pass that you can buy that allows you to go all
Epic
over the
pass. Club. I think it's called. My son has one of those.
No, I'm not saying he was.
It's not about Stevie.
I mean, this club sounds like silly. I want to go to the Yellowstone, whatever you call
Private club.
Sounds very swanky.
Ultra elite.
Is there a ski resort called Big Sky? Have you ever heard of that? That's where Stephen is. So I don't know. I don't have no idea. I don't know any ski resorts. I don't know any towns in Montana.
Well, isn't Bozeman, isn't one of the Montana schools in Bozeman?
Yeah,
University of Montana?
No, Montana.
You don't know
Montana State.
You don't know the capital of Montana.
Mm-mm.
I'll give you a hint. It's a woman's name. It's a common woman's name, old woman's name with an A slapped on the end of it.
Helen A.
Helena.
Man, I didn't know that.
I think I know three cities in Montana: Helena, Bozeman, Billings.
Billings. Oh, yeah, Billings.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah.
Missoula. That's a good one.
Oh, Missoula. That's where Montana is, isn't it? University of Montana?
I think you're right.
All right. It is open line Thursday. Let's go to Keyshawn real quick here. All right. We're up to two.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn, what's up?
What's up, fellas? Case, I was tweeting at you last night. My Spartans took care of business.
I responded. This is quite a Junkies throwback.
This is a gloating.
Oh, I remember this guy. He used to call all the time, the Michigan State guy.
I think the last time I don't remember this.
The
last time I saw Keyshawn in person was when we did a hometown happy hour out in Ashburn at the Clydes, however many years ago that was.
Oh, man, that was years ago.
And with all the
Keyshawn
swingers.
And his dad came up and. Yeah. I think met all of us, and I took a picture with Keyshawn.
He was just a kid.
He was like, I want to say he was like 9 or 10. I'm just guessing.
That's back when Mike Shanahan was
and
coaching.
Now he's a Spartan. He's a Sparty guy.
Wow.
Okay. I'm a Sparty guy. You know, my dad went to Maryland, so you know, Maryland's always it's got a soft spot for him. But that was a pretty ugly ball last night.
Oh yeah, it was an ugly game. All the way around.
Isn't that kind of what Michigan State is always known for? Playing that gritty style, ugly.
That gritty, just kind of knock you down ball and get an ugly win and, you know, move on to the next one. But that was a hell of a game. And, you know, that's probably the best Maryland team I've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah. That Maryland squad's pretty good. Now, their bench.
Their starting five is good. Their bench is not good.
You know what? As soon as they went to their bench, there was a huge drop off.
Yeah. They don't have a bench player averaging more than 2 points a game.
Did they have one that scored last night?
No.
0 points. You scored as many points as the Terps bench last night, Keyshawn.
All right.
So no hard feelings, Keyshawn. It's good to hear from you after all these years,
Keyshawn.
Man. Good to hear from you guys. Always listening in the morning, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
I mean, he was literally like 9 years old when we met.
I remember the appearance. Don't remember Keyshawn, but I remember the appearance.
Yep.
But that was right in my backyard.
Isn't that spot, without reiterating it, isn't that the spot where they were alleged to have had a lot of swinger meetings out in the burn? I thought
back
that
in the day. Back in the swinger hot spot.
Yeah. Where do they all meet now? Is there a known?
I don't know. I mean, if I was a swinger, I could tell you.
Yeah.
But maybe somewhere in Lansdowne.
Follow-up is, of course, there's a lot of pineapple door knockers.
Well, upside down. I think it's upside down pineapple.
Upside down pineapple?
I think it's got to be upside down
pineapple.
Okay,
that's the giveaway?
Yeah.
That's the sign?
That and white rocks.
White rocks, okay.
Yeah, if you have white rocks, you're a swinger.
Maybe a bench is overstated in terms of the need in a college basketball game. You know, we were talking about Travis Hunter yesterday. And when I got home, I was having lunch. I put on Fox Sports, and the NFL players that are all on that show were kicking around Travis Hunter when he could play both ways. And James Jones, who played wide receiver in the NFL for many years, was like, let's be real. He said, and Jason talks about the physicality. He goes, if you're a corner or you're a wide receiver, there's very little physicality. And he said he could play full time. No problem with the amount of breaks there are. He said there might be 3 or 4 hits. He's like, but you're not playing in the middle of the field. You're not a linebacker. You're not a running back.
Mm-hmm.
He said, absolutely, Travis Hunter could do it. It's not a radical concept.
It just hasn't been done. It's never been done.
Well, it has been done, but it's just been many years.
Yeah.
It has been done. Just Chuck Bednarik and
it's been 70 years.
I disagree
with James Jones. Receivers do get hurt.
Yeah.
They get hit all the time.
Of course they get hurt. Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah, it's my point.
But he's saying that it's limited physicality. People get hurt for just
weird reason sometimes.
You're risking it.
I hear that. I just don't think you could train at a professional level to play both positions full time. I just don't know how. I just don't think you can. I mean, practices, it's not like offense only practices half the time. I mean, they practice simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You'd be missing half your reps. I just don't know how you could do it.
And I would say, getting back to the first point you made, in the tournament, a lot of teams go with five or six guys. I get it. But in a game like that last night, when your starting five's not playing well, it'd be nice to have a guy or two then give you 10 points
off
the bench. At
least one guy.
Yeah.
Remember, it's an open line Thursday. You can call us throughout the show at 800-636-1067. It's presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. You're always welcome to call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067 on an open line Thursday. Don't forget Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. He'll join us coming up at 8:25. And comedian Ari Spears will join us in studio at 9 o'clock. He'll be in town at the DC Improv tonight through Sunday. So he is at 9 o'clock.
Hey, I think we should give Josh Harris some props.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said last year, I'm not an F-minus guy, not when the NFLPA report cards came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because in five different categories that they judge, I think out of 12 categories,
mm-hmm.
the Commanders got Fs.
Yeah.
And they jumped from dead last, where they were dead last
for how many
for
years?
2 years in a row. They've only done this for 3 years. And they jumped all the way to 11th, largely right. because of Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was rated by the players. And I think every team, the average was 53 members of a team submitted responses.
Right. That's a
but the lowest was 35. So a lot of players on his team responded. He got an A, was the highest rated coach in the league. But they made jumps in everything from their facilities. Like, look, when he took over, I know Jason had this story about a door or a chair with the 76ers calling him a cheapskate.
Mm-hmm.
But he put his money where his mouth is, because he put $75 million into the team, into the facilities.
Yeah.
They tore up like the Nubs turf field, which had the old logo. I think when Adam Peters showed up, he was like, he couldn't believe it.
Right.
And Josh Harris was like, we got you.
Sure.
We're fixing this. Put in the grass field.
It is pretty stark looking at the improvements. Like, treatment of families in 2024 was an F-. That jumps to a B+. The food and dining was a D+, goes to a B+.
And with the family, it wasn't even anything crazy from what I see. They put in a family area at the game.
Right.
Yeah.
And some daycare. So a couple people watch the kids during a game.
Yeah, just
and they put in a little lounge.
It just shows you how much of a loser Snyder was.
Totally. Absolutely.
Just a loser dude.
How he just let everything fall into disrepair.
Yeah, he's just a loser.
Didn't care about the facilities.
Yeah.
Now, they still need to work on the locker room, because that went from an F-. Now it's still improvement. Went from an F- to an F. So I guess they still need work to do there. But the training room goes from an F- to a C+. The training staff went from an F to a B+.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they just
made a lot of positive moves. They listened to the players. Apparently, one of Josh Harris's first moves when he took over the team was he had this meeting with the veteran players. I heard Tress Way talk about it on Grant and Danny's show a few weeks back. And I think Chair McLaurin and Jonathan Allen, some of the vets, were consulted, like, what do you need to do? Here's the change. Instead of housing players at hotels during training camp, they had him stay at the Lansdowne Resort in Leesburg.
Right. That's nice. That's an upgrade.
You mentioned they tweaked the food service, got rid of that dumb turf field.
It is funny to see details come out from the other teams, too, and see how they fared in the survey. Did you see some of the details from Robert Kraft and the Patriots airplane?
No.
Well, first of all, it has no Wi-Fi. Players are bitching and moaning about that, which makes sense. If you're flying from New England, say you're going to play the Chargers, a six-hour flight, you want some Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And this one shocked me. Some of the players complained that the plane still has ashtrays in some of the armrests.
How old is that thing?
How old is the plane if it still has ashtrays in the armrests? Like, you got to upgrade, Robert Kraft. You got to get a new jet. You can't be toiling around on a 70s era jet with your players that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, it's insanity.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fascinating. I do think we should give him props. Like, I don't think the guy walks on water. I'm not one of these guys that thinks Josh Harris does no wrong. You look at his other teams, he's got some losers. But he took over this team.
But he also
didn't have time to implement his changes when he took over on July 20th.
I give him credit. I give him a lot of credit, actually. But also, never forget that he inherited the lowest bar that had ever been set.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was the lowest bar ever. So anything does is going to look better by comparison. But give him credit for spending some money and actually listening to input.
Those are good grades.
Those are really good grades. Yeah. Aside from the locker room, I mean, it's
because
the lowest
for years,
grade is a C+.
Yeah, because for years, those were all D's and F's.
Yeah. It's hard to compete, you know, when you have like a 30-year-old building to today's locker rooms. I mean,
the only improvement there is a wrecking ball to knock it down, and you build it a new spot.
Yeah,
wherever the new stadium.
They
is
were
be
looking for other spots to have their practice facility, but
right because at some point
they're still right there.
Commanders Park. I mean, I'm just guessing here. I'm guessing Commanders Park is going to turn into a data center. Once they, unless they stay, they keep that land there. Like,
yeah.
They're going to sell that land to a data center, make a boatload of money.
Yeah.
And then they're going to, I would assume, they put their new training facility close to wherever the stadium winds up.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense for them to have a stadium in PG County and their training facilities in Ashburn.
Did I tell you the story? There's a development in Ashburn called the Regency.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, let's just call it 75 homes there.
Right.
Some are really nice. And a company wants to build a data center there.
Okay.
So the company offered every single homeowner $1 million to move.
Right.
So they can destroy the home and put a data center there.
Right.
But they had to have 100% agreement to obviously build a data center.
Well, there had to be holdouts.
There was
holdouts. Yeah, there had to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get 75 people to all agree to just uproot and move.
Correct.
Unless they're going to sweeten the pot.
I mean, some of those people who've already paid their homes off.
This is where the negotiation.
Or their homes aren't worth a million.
So the data center, they're going to sit down and meet, and they're going to be like, okay, we're going to up the offer
now. As far as I know.
$1.2 million per home.
As far as I know, they couldn't get 100%. But
right.
That's what all these companies do. They just come in, and they have so much money to build these data centers, they'll offer you money to destroy your home.
Like, roughly, how much acreage does Commanders Park sit on right now, if you had to guess? Is it 50,
acres? I have no idea.
75, 100?
There's a lot.
I mean, that's primo
I don't
real
know.
Estate.
You'd have to look that up.
In Ashburn.
I mean, there's data centers all around it. There's a data center right across the street.
Right. No, but that is encouraging. And look, that helps you recruit players.
Yeah.
Like, if a player hears it, they're treating the families better, the facilities
are
better.
Or if they got nice facilities.
Now, the first thing that attracts them is money.
Yep.
Let's, I'm not crazy. I understand that. But if a player looks at a report card that comes out from their peers and a team is scoring consistently F's and D minuses, it's going to be tough to lure players there.
Yeah.
Look, he delivered. He said, I'm not an F minus guy.
Yeah.
He said, we're going to do a lot of things in the offseason to make players' lives better, to make coaches' lives better, to make the front office lives better. And he delivered. Now, the facility was still built in 1992 or whenever it was built. So some of that stuff is going to be tough to overcome unless you build a fancy new spot, which I'm sure is what they'd like to do with the new stadium.
I mean, that place looked like a dump when we went there when Joe Gibbs came back for his second stint.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's old.
And I'm guessing there haven't been a lot of capital expenditures and improvements made in the interim.
I mean, I'm sure they've done some slight improvements, but yeah, I mean, it's an older facility.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Randall in Mechanicsville. Open line Thursday, Cakes. Ripping through these calls.
Welcome to call throughout the show.
We're
going to
set a
works.
New record for this decade. For this decade.
Okay.
Yeah, Randall.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
I
Randall.
Love the show.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I've been listening. Oh, I've been listening to you guys every day for years, but I know lately with the Nats, the learners being so cheap, one thing that's gone through my mind with, especially with the how cheap they are, the learners, is do you think Mike Rizzo, I know he signed an extension in 23, and I cannot find how long that extension lasts. He's got to be one day just fed up saying, you know what, guys, be cheap all you want. I don't want no part of this anymore. Because to me, I think Rizzo's an incredible GM. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the best in baseball, to be honest with you. And that's coming
I mean, full disclosure, I'm a Yankees fan. My dad grew up in Jersey, watched them my whole life. I would love if he went to the Yankees, for example. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's other people who feel that way about their team. I just think one day they're going to lose him. I think they take him for granted sometimes. You know, like, hey, dude, field a good squad with a cheap amount of money.
It's possible, but he's been here since 2006.
Yeah.
He lives here.
His wife's
had
from
a baby.
Here. His wife's from here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think it'd be unlikely for him. It would have to be a great scenario. Maybe Chicago.
Because he's from Chicago.
He's got to be tearing his hair out, though.
I'm sure he's frustrated, but then he also goes home to his beautiful home, and he looks at his beautiful wife and beautiful new child, and just, what are you going to do?
He also has no hair, so he would not be tearing that
he's
out.
He's Team Ball. He's a proud member of Team Ball.
He looks at that silly humidor he's got.
He's like, life's pretty good.
Yeah, pulls out a stogie, looks at his World Series ring.
Look, if he was so unhappy, he wouldn't be signing extensions.
Right.
Right.
And he's told us all along, he's done this before and he's going to do it again. So he believes in this plan where they've been, drafting guys and developing guys, that it's going to pay off.
He believes in these guys, in the James Wood and the Dylan Cruz of the world. He and CJ Abrams.
All right. Thanks for the call. Coming up later on the show, Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. He'll join us coming up at 8:25. But next we'll get into EB's entertainment page. A Hollywood legend passes. We'll give you details on that next here on The Fan.